For many charities, a board of trustees is vital for checks and balances, holding senior executives and indeed chief execs to account. We are going to be chatting with Anna Tyler, who is the chair of RNIB, to learn a bit more about the work of the board and indeed some new incumbents as well. Anna, thank you very much for joining us.
Lovely to be here, Alan.
And I've been here 6 years, and I can say without any reservation, this is the best role I've ever had. And it's incredibly rewarding to be a part of such an extraordinary endeavour. The Board of Trustees carry all the legal responsibility. If we don't have enough money in our reserves, or we get wrapped over the knuckles by the Charity Commission, or something awful goes wrong, the buck stops. It stops here. I think that that's really important to remember when you consider that we're all volunteers and we all put ourselves in a line of fire. So we meet formally 4 times a year, usually pretty much for the whole day, to go through our RNIB business. And once a year, we make sure that we travel to Northern Ireland, to Wales, to Scotland, reminding ourselves of what happens across other parts of the nations. And we actively go out looking for people who live in other parts of the country, because it's really important that the board should represent the people we serve. So on those 4 days a year, we have a kind of rolling programme of activities. So at certain times in the year, the board has to consider things like the annual report or the business plan for next year. And it's the executive's job to, let's say, put that plan into place, the business plan for the following year. And then we would have a chance to scrutinise it and to say, are you really sure that you think you can, I don't know, making it up now, but achieve that many people getting into new jobs from a standing start? And sometimes they'll say, yes, because, and other times they'll say, that's a good challenge. Actually, we could do more or we could do less. And it's our job to challenge and to test what it is that the proposition is. So when the board comes to us and say, we would like to spend money on a new software system, we might delegate that work from the board to a committee. That committee would be delegated with really scrutinising whether this is a good bet. Are we doing the right thing? And our job is to challenge and to support. And some of that we do in that rolling programme of activities that we have across the year, as well as lots of deep dives into subjects like fundraising, employment, the iCare support pathway, and then lots of our work we delegate to small groups of board members, like fundraising, safeguarding, people resourcing, finance and investment, and very, very importantly, RNIB strategic direction. So are we thinking about what the world is likely to look like in 1 year, 10 years time? And what will that mean for the shape of RNIB and the services that we need to put in place to serve blind and partially sighted people? So some of it's granular and some of it is really big thinking stuff. It's really exciting stuff, particularly at the moment with the introduction of AI and things like that.
When you are looking for people to be on that board, what kind of things are you looking for? Because again, you know, hugely important job.
It's important to me. We say we're led by blind and partially sighted people. And I think that's a critical part of RNIB's character. So part of what we have done is to put a lot of time and energy into starting to build our networks and our search processes to make sure that we attract as many blind and partially sighted people as we possibly can. Now, it's not easy, but what I have discovered is that there are some amazing people out there doing fantastic jobs with sight impairments. And I'm lucky enough to have had a working life. And as people come to the end of their careers, they often look around for interesting things to do. And we have somebody who's just joined the board who's in that position. But we want young people as well, who are in the heat of their careers and in the heat of their lives, who are possibly in their 30s and 40s, who've got the experience and who've really got that lived experience under their belt and got the commitment, the drive and the know-how to be a contributor. So we would look for people who may not have always had board experience, but who are used to scrutinising, challenging, supporting, who understand the legal framework of a board and what it needs to do. My role is a very particular role. I might speak for the board, speak for the organisation, but we want people who really share that drive and passion, who can share out the tasks, who will join committees, might be interested in fundraising. They don't have to have had huge depth of fundraising experience, but it helps if they do, or people who come from a finance or an HR background that are willing to join those committees. And we say to everyone, it'd be really helpful if you would put your hand up for two committees, because we're not a particularly huge board. So we'd look for that commitment, that drive to the cause, some really useful, quite well-developed skills. You don't have to have board experience, but some equivalency. We're a team.
You mentioned, Anne, about some new recruits to the board. There have been 5 new people taking up their seats around the table. Can you tell us who they are and why they're a good fit for RNIB?
First of all, there's Graham Colbert, who's joined as our treasurer. He's an experienced finance lead in the commercial sector, and I think he's going to help move us on to the next level to help us become more sophisticated in the way we think about money and how we use it, best value for money, because that's really important. We have got Barry Hoffman, who's got lived experience, and he's had an international career in HR, so he's a bit of a hotshot, and he's a really considered individual who's going to chair our people and safeguarding committee. So he brings lots of skills and lived experience. Next, we have Nigel Fletcher. So lots of listeners will know about Nigel. Nigel is the current CEO at Motability. So he knows an awful lot about mobility, getting around, the built environment, the transport system. He's partially sighted. Then there's Zaina Ali, who's coming on to chair our Audit and Risk Committee. But we know Zaina because she's just spent a couple of years as an external member of Audit and Risk Committee. So she comes into the role following on from Tanya Castell, who's done a terrific job. And Zaina will build on that work. She knows us well. And then the other person is Andrew McCracken. And Andrew McCracken has got plenty of experience in the sector, and he's currently head of policy at Asthma and Lung, and before that the King's Fund. So he knows his way around the health system, he knows his way around Whitehall, and he's a really seasoned campaigner. He's very sophisticated, probably I would say one of our younger board members, and very energetic, very driven. So we're lucky to have all of these people and such a good intake of really skilled visually impaired people.
For a charity like RNIB then, Anna, for new board members coming in, they really have to hit the ground running, don't they?
Yes, but we do have a pretty well-developed induction process now, which we began 6 years ago when I first joined. It's kind of grown and developed and morphed and changed. We've had the trustee feedback now that said, yes, I really enjoyed doing that, but I'd rather do it month two than month one. I'd have got more out of, I know, going on a visit once I understood a bit about the range of services. So we've been able to sort of keep growing our induction programme. And we obviously understand that this takes time because we're a big beast of an organisation. There are lots of services, lots of people, lots of locations. There's a lot to take in. And it takes people time and energy to get up and running. But there is an upside to all of this. When you don't know an organisation, you can ask all kinds of questions that you might feel a bit uncomfortable to ask when you were further down the line. And that's a really useful, I think, moment in time. Because you can ask, why do we have a pink logo? Why is our print pink? That doesn't make any sense to me. And we're able to sort of stop and think, why did we do that? Remind ourselves, I remember why we did it. We did it for these reasons. Or why have we got a policy that looks like this? That doesn't make any sense to me. Ah, here's why we did it. It still doesn't make any sense to me. Maybe we should stop and review it. So this is a really valuable moment.
And you've been chair now for several years. What do you get from it? Or how would you look back on your term when that comes to an end?
I think what I get out of it is an awful lot of joy. Some of it is remarkably challenging. So you will know that we had to do a huge amount of work over finance, over the structure of the organisation, over governance, safeguarding, lots and lots of stuff in the early days of my chairmanship. And we're getting to some really exciting stuff now. Very, very focused on delivering for blind and partially sighted people. And I love the work that we've done with the NHS. Everybody knows the NHS is not an easy organisation. It's very large, it's very unwieldy, and at the moment it's going through lots of change. But we're working in partnership with the NHS, delivering more really solid, helpful, useful interventions for blind and partially sighted people, from the eye care liaison officer to waiting well, to some of the work we're doing in order to help try and shorten waiting lists. So I can't tell you the thrill I get out of that, because this is really big stuff. If you're losing your sight and you get the right information at the right time and you get the right help in the right way, it's the difference between night and day. And that gives me a huge kick. I look at Bookshare, which is my baby. I've watched that grow like Topsy. And people say they get a huge benefit from it. I've met people who say, I wouldn't be working now. I wouldn't have my degree if it wasn't for Bookshare. I just think that's life-changing stuff. And when I travel around and I meet people, I'm bowled over by the extraordinary energy of the volunteers that I meet, the blind and partially sighted people who are doing a lot of this work on the ground. In Scotland, the work that's been done in partnership with Lothian Buses, in Northern Ireland, the work that they've been doing there around making Derry a more accessible city. Look at the work that's going on in Wales about accessing the countryside. There's nothing more satisfying than seeing that impact. It's just brilliant.
Well, we certainly look forward to meeting and talking more about the new trustees over the coming weeks and months. But for now, Anna, thank you for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Wonderful.